My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
We now hit the phone lines courtesy of our good friends at Bet Online. You could go check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 7 lines. BetOnline.ag bringing us Danny Cannell today. Danny, how's it going, man?
What is up, fellas? How we doing? I had heard of the legendary lore of Danny and Dusty before, but I am so fired up to be on with you guys. And I'm just assuming that Danny is the better looking, smarter, wittier host, and that Dusty is sort of the dumber, like just kind of there for sign of some kicks and laughs. Is that how it goes on your show as well?
Danny, no. Would say yes.
I would say yes, but unfortunately no. It's kind of a Freaky Friday situation where the sharper, wittier, more handsome fan man, Dusty, is he's carrying that banner. I have let Danny's down. I will say this. You and I both have this in common. Twitter doesn't like us.
There you go. Hey, we've got that.
Get something on Twitter directed at our show account, because this is what will happen. We will get a mess of SEC fans very angry, particularly at me. And I'm like, we haven't talked SEC football today. They're mad at Cannell.
Yes, and it goes way back. I mean, I don't know how long your show has been, but I'm sure it's been since the origin. And I've actually come a long way, but I still can't resist taking a couple shots at the SEC just to get them riled up. So I'll apologize. Sometimes you just have to mute SEC. Anything in there that says SEC, just mute it. It'll make life a lot easier.
We have talked about this on the show, Danny Cannell, host of Dusty and Danny in the Mornings, and we have Danny and Dusty, and it was great the way you set it up, because we'll also get on our Twitter feed, like, Dusty, quit being a knuckle dragger, and I'm always sitting there like, what did I say this time? So I'm glad we can go full circle with all of this. Man, thank you for taking a few minutes for us today, and really, we can clear the air, and not, we didn't know if we were going to be going, like, if we're going to have animosity between the two shows, but when you have set, I don't think there's anywhere the statistics of there being another Danny and Dusty hosting a radio show nationally is minuscule. So it was a nice surprise for us to see. So thank you for taking a few minutes for us today, man. Let's talk about the big game that we got coming up this weekend here. Ohio State rolls into Oregon. We have number 2 visiting number 3, and Ohio State comes in as a 4-point favorite in this one. What have you seen from this Buckeyes team as they roll into Autzen Stadium with a schedule where it hasn't been as tough as what we were anticipating the challenges from Michigan State or Iowa to be?
They've looked the part. I mean, they've done everything they could. So I've also drawn the ire of Ohio State fans, because I've called them out for their schedule, and they can't do anything if Michigan State's having a down year. Iowa's offense is once again pretty inept, and it looks pretty easy for them. But they can do something about Marshall and whatever other directional schools they play to start the season. But to the players' point, like, all they've done is handled their business, and they've been super impressive. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like Oregon is, like, people are forgetting that Oregon still is the 3rd-ranked team in the country, and they're also undefeated. And it's pretty funny, because they've also made some nice additions in the portal. They also brought in their quarterback, who I think is pretty special. And yet, no one's really talking about the Ducks very much, but I do think the way that Ohio State is covered, the way the roster was talked about, and we've had not one but 2 former Ohio State head coaches, and Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel, say it's the best roster ever assembled that have ever, you know, put on the Ohio State Scarlet and Gray. I think those type of conversations are why people are so high on Ohio State. But I will say, They have not been tested yet, and Oregon has. And I do think there's value in getting tested, even though sometimes it's worse a lesser opponent. And you're like, uh-oh, what's wrong with this team? You've had a gut check, and Ohio State has not, and especially on the road. And that environment's going to absolutely insane. It's going to be incredible to watch. But I still think people are sleeping on the Ducks a little bit.
Danny, you kind of hit exactly where I wanted to go with this, that the whole idea of not really having the opportunity to get tested. Now, Boise State, you know, put the screws to Oregon early on, and Oregon, they're not going to complain about walking away with a win, but they learned a lot about themselves in that game. When you have a matchup of this magnitude and it's not between familiar opponents, is there something that just kind of I don't want to say it can go off script, but do you kind of look at these games now that obviously that both teams are in the Big Ten, that this is something that can kind of deviate away from what everybody thinks this game is going to be?
Yes, absolutely. And I think this is where Ohio State might have an edge, because I do think when you're playing a game with Boise State and you're on offense and all of a sudden you're trailing and it's in the second half, you got to open up the whole playbook, right? You have to work every single player that you want to. You've got to unveil every concept, passing concept. Maybe you had a new formation that you wanted to show, or a motion that you might have wanted to keep up your sleeve for an opponent like Ohio State. You've already got it on film. That's the one advantage where Ohio State, because they've been up so much, and even against Iowa, I know it was 7-0 at half, and then they kind of trounced them in the second half, putting up 21 points pretty early. I still think that's what would concern me, and I'm sure it does for Dan Lanning, wondering what Chip Kelly has up his sleeve potentially, the new offensive coordinator at Ohio State. And I'm sure that Dan Lanning's probably gone back and looked at everything that Chip Kelly ran at UCLA, what concepts worked against the Ducks in years past, what ones worked against other teams in the Pac-12 when it was still around. That's probably me the biggest concern for Oregon is what hasn't Ohio State shown. And I think you saw that, again, example of the Alabama-Georgia game, which I'm sure you guys watched a couple weeks ago, when Alabama just dropped 28 points on Georgia in the first quarter. It was because Alabama had not shown any empty sets. They hadn't shown any empty formations. And all of a sudden, it caught Georgia off guard. And all of a sudden, they're getting wide open guys down the field until Georgia made those adjustments. So this is the type of game where I really think coaching matters a ton. And, you know, a lot of times when you have rosters as talented or as Ohio State and as Oregon, you know, you can get away with a couple coaching mistakes. You make a boneheaded call or you try something new. It doesn't burn you. But this one is where coaching becomes a premium and where I think it really matters the most in games like this.
And both of these coaches have gotten that label of, you know, got to win the big one, right? And which coach do you think that this game, here we are, the second weekend of October, which one can benefit the most from a win in this game? Because we've heard it about Ryan Day. We've heard it about also Dan Lanning with getting over the Washington hump.
Either fan base is probably going to be disappointed, right? And, you know, I'd say there's probably more pressure on Ryan Day, not to diminish Dan Lanning's pressure that he's under as well, but because of what I was telling you about the roster, and it's a $20 million roster, and because the expectations for Ohio State and watching Michigan win the national title and win three Big Ten championships in a row, I'd say it's slightly more pressure on Ryan Day. And I think, you know, either one of these teams, and this is sort of, you know, some people hate this, I don't. It doesn't kill your playoff hope. So no matter who loses this game, you're probably going to go back and hopefully go back to the drawing board and, you know, try to get better and make the improvements you need. And hopefully you could still make it back to the Big Ten championship game. I will say this, and I thought this was noticeable. And I actually met Dan Lanning for the first time in Indianapolis at the Big Ten media days. The difference in Oregon's confidence and just that they were excited about coming to the Big Ten, and they had the duck in the river in Indy, which was a big story. And, you know, Dan Lanning just kind of oozed confidence, right? And Ryan Day doesn't lack in confidence, but you could cut the tension with a knife. Like, he is stressed because he realizes, I mean, what's insane, Ohio State fans, like, they've had discussions about should he be on the hot seat just because of what's happened at Michigan. So that's the type of, like, pressure that I think he's dealing with that I don't think either one of these coaches should be dealing with, but it's just a reality of where they both sit right now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Danny, when you look at the landscape of college football right now, this is kind of a overarching question. When you look at Ohio State, you look at Oregon, you look at Texas, you look at the top teams in the country, what's kind of your 30,000-foot, you know, takeaway of where those teams are? And you hear that, you know, Texas has got this great roster, and Oregon is, I think they'd argue, this is one of the best rosters they've ever had, and Ohio State's got the best roster they've ever had. Is that team speak, or is that, do you think that rosters are actually heading this way because of the changes around college football?
So here's what's really interesting, is because I do think their rosters are off the charts, but I also think a lot of people thought that Bama was that case, and then Bama just gets beat by Vanderbilt, and you're like, wait a second, I thought they were a super team. Tennessee, who is a program who, you know, people thought Josh Heupel at Tennessee had maybe one of the best rosters they've had in years, they go lose to Arkansas. I think while these rosters are uber talented, and they've boosted them, and they've fixed positions because of the transfer portal, and they can get a quarterback who's ready-made like Dylan Gabriel, I think there's a lot more parity, and I've heard a bunch of coaches talk about this. Yes, the top-tier talent is going to the usual suspects, right? The Oregons, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Georgias, but it's harder to get the depth that they've had in years past. And I actually did take a shot at the SEC last weekend when I noticed all this parity, because the SEC has dominated college football's recruiting rankings and for the past 20, 25 years. And why was it? Was it because they were, you know, everybody knows about the bag men and stuff that was going on and paying players under the table. It's no secret. And now that other teams are given a chance, a school like Vanderbilt, who I would say did things the right way, they're able to go out and pay a player like Diego Pavia, the quarterback from New Mexico State, bring him in there, and all of a sudden it gives them a chance. And there's also guys that are maybe were at Bama or at Oregon or at Georgia, and they were 4 or 5 stars, and maybe they weren't playing. And whereas before, they wouldn't be able to transfer unless they sat out a year. They wouldn't be able to make any money, and they've got their secure deal at one of those prime schools. Now they can get lured away to a school like Arkansas or to a school like Vanderbilt or to a school in the Big Ten that's kind of flying under the radar. So I think it's actually spreading out some of the talent. And the turnover on rosters, I think, is another addition to why we're seeing parity. I mean, football is the ultimate team sport. And there's value in continuity and teamwork, especially on the offensive line. And, you know, quarterback, receiver, chemistry, timing, rhythm. And I think you guys have seen that firsthand. That's like at Oregon, you guys have had injuries on the offensive line. You've had Dylan Gabriel come in, learning a new system. And I think you've seen him progress, and they've gotten better. But it didn't look great right away. And I think that's because they haven't been together for 2 or 3 years like some players at some schools. So it's a combination of everything, but I think the days of teams running the table and going from start to finish, you know, undefeated, I think those are gone. I think we'll see multiple 2 or 3 loss teams potentially in the playoff. And even Texas, as good as they are, I don't think they'll run the table. And same thing with Ohio State or the winner of this game. If it's Ohio State or Oregon, I think there's probably a slip-up in there. It's just there's a lot of parity, and the schedules are tougher than they've ever been with the super conferences. I think parity's here to stay.
Yeah, that's a great point in that, and it also makes kind of what Ohio State did with that, you know, $20 million roster that much more impressive too, is getting guys to come back for one more run at it, go and make another charge at it, and still backfill it with a really talented recruiting class as well, both out of high school and the transfer portal. When you get guys like Caleb Downs on the defensive side out of the portal, and then you get a receiver like Jeremiah Smith, who's a true freshman. Everybody's talking about Ryan Williams down at Bama. Dude, Jeremiah Smith is exceptional and just as good. As you take a look at this receiving core from Ohio State, are we going to be looking back on this in like 4 or 5 years and talking about it like we did that LSU receiving room that had, you know, Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase in it? Because you got Emeka Ogbuka, Carnell Tate, who's going to be back this week, it looks like, and then Jeremiah Smith, the true freshman.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, Ohio State's already been known recently. The run of wide receivers that they've had coming out of there has been remarkable. Jackson Smith and Jigma. Then last year, of course, had a top five pick and Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, it's remarkable the receiving corps that they've had. And I think there's another phenomenon that's taken place with, you mentioned Ryan Williams, the true freshman at Bama, and Jeremiah Smith, the true freshman at Ohio State. Players now are more ready because of the 7-on-7 circuit, because of the systems they're running in high school are very similar to what they're doing in college, and because of the confidence. Like, they've seen other freshmen before them go and have success. So they're coming in with all-time confidence and all-time skill sets, and it's the perfect combination for these two, you know, freshmen, true freshman receivers to go toe-to-toe, and it's just different. I played with a guy named Peter Wark, who might be one of the most electric college football players of all time when I was at Florida State. When he was a freshman, he redshirted. He was scared, like he was green. I would tell him this to his face. He was like in over his head. He was still like walking around, looking around, like, what do I do? And he was kind of skinny and he wasn't built up. And then, of course, after a year, a redshirt year, his career takes off. Now you're getting players who come in ready-made, ready to go. They get on campus in January. They learn the system, go through a spring. And when it's ready to go, they're ready to take off. But yes, that to me is probably the biggest concern I'd have for Oregon. And we haven't even touched on the backfield with Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins and Will Howard as a runner. That to me is where I'm really looking at this matchup and, you know, wondering how you're supposed to slow that offense down. And I will say, though, Will Howard, who was at Kansas State, watched him a lot there. He got a little bit of the turnover bug there. This is his first big game as the quarterback where it's probably going to be a tight game, right? I mean, unless it's a perfect, you know, storm and they come out and hit a couple big touchdowns early, which I don't think will happen. But, like, how does he respond if they come out and it's, you know, 14-10 at halftime and they're down? How does he respond in that situation? We don't know because they've been able to sail through the schedule. So there's so many intriguing matchups and so many storylines in this game. It's clear reason why it's the game everybody wants to watch this weekend.
Danny, I want to hit you on a national one. I think it's an interesting line, and obviously you've been a part of the game for a long time now, and the Heisman Trophy has just been a quarterback award essentially for God knows how long, the quarterback on the best team or the guy who makes the most plays. And now, right now, you've got Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter, 1 and 2 in Heisman odds. Do you think that there's a chance that we might actually get away from the quarterback award? Could this upset the cycle and turn this into a situation where the best player in the country ends up winning this award again?
Yes, I do. I think it's a couple different reasons. One, I think nationally, and we saw this with DeVonta Smith when he won at Alabama as a wide receiver, the conversation started pretty early because I think people are tired of seeing quarterbacks win the award, right? Unless you're really special, unless you've put up insane numbers and you've helped elevate your program to a national championship and you've just had a spectacular season, I think people are longing. And I would say Heisman voters, I'm a Heisman voter. There's over 800 of them. There's too many of them. But I think even Heisman voters are looking for somebody else to step up. And for whatever reason, we haven't had a two-way player in the last 50 years who's played as many snaps as Travis Hunter is playing. We've seen running backs challenged. So that's where I'm a little bit nervous about Ashton Jeanty, if this is sustainable, because we've had Melvin Gordon go up there and put up unbelievable numbers. We've had backs before. I think he has to challenge. I think a couple things happen for Ashton Jeanty to win the award. I think he's probably going to go to New York if he just keeps having this type of year. Playing at the Group of Five level hurts him. I mean, it's just a reality. Not a lot of people see his games on national television. The thing he has to do, I think, is challenge some of Barry Sanders' records, his single-season records. It's 2,628 yards in the regular season, and it's 33 touchdowns, which he's on pace to challenge them. So if he breaks those, which have stood for 40 years, then I think all of a sudden it could become a reality. The other thing he has to do is they have to win out, because if they lose, he'll probably be an afterthought. So I think, but right now, like, they should be favored every game from here on out. And the game against Oregon, which you guys are well aware of, the 192 and 3 touchdowns, even though they lost, that might be his best case for the Heisman Trophy, is look what he did against that Oregon defense.
Danny Cannell, you can catch him, Dusty and Danny in the mornings, the Cover 3 pod, weekdays at 11 a.m. in CBS Sports HQ. Man, we really appreciate the time that you gave us today. We hope to do it again, and I know you're a Florida guy through and through, a Florida State guy, and live in the state. Hope you and yours are all safe with Hurricane Milton coming in to and bearing down on Florida, man.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, we're in South Florida on the East Coast, so I think we dodged most of it. But yeah, definitely prayers for those people on the West Coast of Florida for sure. And you know, I'm insanely jealous of your guys' show, right? Because you guys got it right. You went with Danny first. I got screwed over.
Danny, how this worked is we literally sat down when we were talking about naming the show. What rolls out easier? I didn't push for it. I didn't push
for it. I'm going to bring that to my co-host Dusty and tell him we need to change.
Love it, man. Thank you for the time. Appreciate you.
Awesome. We'll have to do it again. See you
guys.
Thanks,
Danny.
All right. There he is, Danny Cannell. And again, Danny brought to you by Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 7 lines.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.